This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. What if comparing car insurance rates was as easy as putting on your favorite podcast? With Progressive, it is. Just visit the Progressive website to quote with all the coverages you want. You'll see Progressive's direct rate, then their tool will provide options from other companies so you can compare. All you need to do is choose the rate and coverage you like. Quote today at progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Comparison rates not available in all states or situations. Prices vary based on how you buy.
The New Yorker Radio Hour is supported by the Sympathizer podcast from HBO. From executive producers Park Chan-wook and Robert Downey Jr., The Sympathizer is the new HBO original limited series based on the Pulitzer Prize-winning novel of the same name. On The Sympathizer podcast, join host Philip Nguyen in conversation with the cast, crew, and author Viet Thanh Nguyen as they discuss the making of this historic series. Stream new episodes of HBO's The Sympathizer, Sundays exclusively on Max, and listen to The Sympathizer podcast wherever you listen to podcasts.
Listener supported. WNYC Studios.
Baseball season is, thank goodness, and after long months of cold, in full swing. For minor league players, far from the big stadiums and the TV screens, the famously bad pay and working conditions just got a little harder, thanks to the federal government. Tucked away in the spending bill, the giant 2,000-plus page omnibus bill, is something called the Save America's Pastime Act. We can probably assume that many of the people who voted on the tax cuts never even read the Save America's Pastime Act. But it seems to specifically exempt the league from paying minor league ballplayers according to the federal minimum wage. Mary Pilon is a sports writer who's been trying to figure it all out. And one of the people she spoke with is a lawyer named Garrett Brushhouse. Brushhouse practices litigation in St. Louis, and he's representing minor league players in a suit for better pay. He himself spent 6 years playing in the minor leagues before going into law. Here's Mary Pilon.
I grew up in Eugene, Oregon, which is about 6 hours away from the nearest pro baseball team, the Mariners. So minor league baseball, I went all the time to see the Eugene Emeralds play. And it was a huge part of not just my childhood, but kind of how I accessed sports. And it was affordable for the family to go. There were, for not that much money, you could sit pretty close. The players spent a lot of time, you know, signing autographs for kids and stuff. So I spent a lot of time watching minor league baseball. Garrett, did you watch minor league baseball growing up too?
So I grew up in an area that was so country that we didn't even have a minor league baseball team close to us. So I did not grow up going to minor league baseball games. I grew up in Southeast Missouri. But, you know, you'd mentioned Eugene, Oregon. That was one of the first places that I played in my minor league career.
So you were drafted by the San Francisco Giants right out of college. Did you know you were going to spend time in the minors after you were drafted?
Oh, without a doubt. Everybody goes through the minors at least for a little bit. And most guys spend several years in the minor leagues. So it's a prerequisite where you have to play in the minors really before you go to the major leagues.
Can you quickly explain the relationship between the minor leagues and Major League Baseball, which is the professional baseball organization I think most people are more familiar with?
Major League Baseball has long had this farm system in place. And the reason it's called a farm system is it's the leagues where they cultivate the young players and they turn them into, you know, the major league players eventually. And, you know, the important thing is that the major league teams are the ones that pay the players and they also hire the minor league coaches. And so it's Major League Baseball and its teams that always control, you know, where the players play and how much they're paid. And then the minor league teams, the minor league owners are really just in charge of selling tickets.
Can you give us a basic description of how a minor league player is paid, whether that's salaried or by the hour, kind of how that works?
So to start with, the salaries are only paid during the season. Spring training just wrapped up for minor league players. They weren't paid at all during that spring training time. So it was a full month of work where, you know, they were required to work 60, 70 hours per week and weren't paid at all for that. Then once the season actually begins, that's when their salaries begin. The starting salary for first-year players is $1,100 per month right now. Each level that you go up, and there are several different levels in the minor leagues. There's rookie ball, which is the lowest level, and then it goes on up to single A, and then double A and triple A. And each level, your salary increases a little bit, but there are still, you know, several players in AAA baseball that were only making around $2,200 per month. So on a given night, if you go to a AA baseball game, whether it's, you know, in Hartford, Connecticut, or in Frisco, Texas, you know, there might be 7,000-8,000 fans on a given night seeing that player. But they make so little per hour that, you know, when I was playing, it wasn't uncommon for the bat boy to be making more than the guy playing first base.
How do you make ends meet with all of that?
Well, it's very difficult. I had a Venezuelan teammate that was my catch partner, and you know, we did our running together, we did our throwing together, and I was talking to him, and he had a pregnant fiance back home, and he was just trying to save up $20 a month to send back to her, and he was having a hard time doing that. And one of my teammates, we'd be on the long bus rides, and all of a sudden he's getting a call from the debt collector that's trying to come after him. So, you know, some guys are lucky enough to be drafted in very early rounds and they get a signing bonus. That helps them out. They live on that throughout their minor league career. You know, my fiance and then wife often paid our first month's deposit on our apartment each year. She helped me through spring training for sure. Early on in your career, you have so much euphoria that, you know, you'd run through a brick wall for that organization. And so you don't think about the financial strife at all. But then the bills don't go away. And after a few years, you know, a lot of guys do start realizing that I can't make ends meet doing this.
So now one of your cases is representing minor league players in this lawsuit against Major League Baseball. Talk to us about why minor league players are suing baseball and how this all came together.
So all we're doing is we're just trying to apply this country's just basic minimum wage laws to minor league baseball players. If Major League Baseball expects these players, you know, to work 60 hours per week during spring training, then they should be paid for that work. But for some reason, Major League Baseball, for years now, has decided they don't want to pay salaries during spring training. And then even during the season, we're saying that if you're going to require them to work 60 hours per week, then you need to comply with our country's basic wage laws and provide them a livable wage. They tried defending it by arguing that they were basically like apprentices or like interns. You know, they're temporary employees that are there just to learn. That's a, you know, very offensive defense for a minor league player. You know, a minor league player is signed to a 7-year contract, and so that gives the major league team the exclusive rights to the players for that 7-year period. And so to say that they aren't even employees covered by your basic minimum wage laws, you know, it's quite offensive to minor league players. If Walmart and McDonald's can figure out a way to comply with our basic wage laws, then surely Major League Baseball can do it as well.
So tucked into the spending bill on page 1,967, I believe, was the Save America's Pastime Act, which dealt with this very issue. Talk to us a little bit about what exactly this provision of the spending bill would do, or I guess now does, and how did you catch wind of it?
What it does is it basically provides a new exemption where if Major League Baseball just pays the minimum wage based on a 40-hour work week, then they gain an exemption from the minimum wage laws. Our country's just our federal basic minimum wage law. And, you know, when you do the math, 725 times 40, it's a little less than $1,200 per month then, whenever you average it out over a month. And so the way I'm sure Major League Baseball will interpret this is they will interpret this as allowing them to continue to not pay minor league players anything during spring training and during the offseason. As for how it came about, there was no hearing, there was no committee vote, there was no debate at all. Instead, what happened is the very top of leadership, you know, Mitch McConnell, Paul Ryan, they have been lobbied hard by MLB's lobbyist. MLB paid over $1.3 million each of the past 2 years to lobbyists, and paid a lot more to campaign contributions. And this was a powerful lobbying group that was close to leadership, and they succeeded in getting this secretly tucked in to a spending bill, even though it has nothing to do with spending at all.
Yeah, in my reporting, it was still unclear to me how exactly this provision ended up in the spending bill. I called various offices of various representatives of Congress, the majority, the minority leaders, all around, and I still couldn't quite figure out how exactly this made it into the spending bill, particularly when it doesn't directly deal with government spending. Why is the federal government weighing in on paying minor league baseball players at all in a spending bill?
That beats me. You know, if there's ever been anything misnamed in this world, this would be it. It has nothing to do with saving America's pastime at all. It is making more money than it ever has before. It's seen exponential revenue growth. And, you know, the profit margins are huge, both in Major League Baseball and in Minor League Baseball.
Wow. So how does it change your case? Is the case dead? Is it unclear? Where does that put the lawsuit?
Well, the case certainly isn't dead. One of the things about the wage and hour laws is, you know, states are allowed to enact higher minimum wages, and they're also free to say that they aren't going to have all the exemptions that the federal law has. There will be some state laws we can continue to rely on, and we'll continue to pursue that, and we'll continue to push forward. And you know, hopefully at the end of the day, fairness will win out, and hopefully at the end of the day, Major League Baseball will decide to do the right thing, and you know, instead of spending money on lobbyists, hopefully they'll increase salaries.
But I also wonder, you know, how will the league survive if people aren't being paid a living wage? And if Minor League Baseball fell apart or crumbled in some way, what would that mean for Major League Baseball?
Well, Major League Baseball wouldn't exist without the minor leagues. You know, the way Major League Baseball is set up, they often draft players as young as 16 out of the Dominican Republic and out of Venezuela. And even out of the United States, they draft 18-year-old high school players. Well, if you're 16, if you're 18, you certainly aren't ready for Major League Baseball. And so those are the guys that we're fighting for.
That was attorney Garrett Brushhouse, a former minor league ball player, and he was talking with contributor Mary Pallon.